Grand Atlanta, WGUN 1010 AM, where God unites nations.
To the Soulful Mind radio program. I am Minister Jackie Kane.
And Dr. Patrick Ware, Duluth Child Psychiatrist.
We're so happy to be here with you every Friday from 2 to 2:30. You can also reach us 24/7 on our website, thesoulfulmind.com. And you can click right on the station's little click for us. How about that, Doc? And listen anywhere in the world we're finding out.
Listen live.
Yes, at WGUNradio.com.
Here we are, over 100 years of experience with some disagreement over who has the majority of that time and under their belt.
Of course.
We also want to remind you that that our opinions and views and experiences are strictly ours. They're not intended to represent any church or group, professional or otherwise. The listener is invited to consider, contemplate, go to our website, www.thesoulfulmind.com. Send us an email, thesoulfulmind@aol.com. Call us, 770-491-7748. Let us know what you think, who you are, what's going on in your world. An opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask for your blessing and direction in this ministry. Open our hearts and ears that we may hear and have our hearts and minds guided, that we may be heard by those who will benefit from your gifts. Also, you want to tell them about Miss Jenny and the website?
Yes, Miss Jenny has definitely done an excellent job on our site. We have all of our past programs there. All you have to do is go to thesoulfulmind.com. And thank you, Miss Jenny, because now you can listen to all of them, and hopefully today's program would be up sometime this week. So go click and listen.
A gift from a blessed aunt of mine, our global shared desires, a universal theme, to love and to be loved. You're at the right place, and we have the right stuff for that new chapter in your life. We hope you will listen critically, explore the website, read what others' experiences are saying, begin the exercise, listen to our past programs, and by all means let us know how it's going with you. We believe that first you discover that living a full, rich life is possible by experiencing that with others, then you explore the opportunity for yourself, and lastly you share and teach others what you have and are learning. We are, after all in this journey together, and we do really owe others this unbelievable news. We grow as we share and teach others as well. We would love to hear from you. Let's talk today about perhaps the most important decision of your life. Should you wait, even for another minute? Can you really afford to wait another minute? Can you afford to wait to harvest your own fullness, the fullness of acceptance, full acceptance, divine love? I'd like to pause a moment and issue an admonition. The listener is advised that the contents of this program can be for some extremely striking, if not volcanic, in their impact. The subjects can be very intense, personal, at times profound, even upsetting. You're invited to listen, consider, contemplate, and dialogue with us. We and God love you, and we truly want you to access your all, the fullness of your sacred gift of God's love, and your complete consciousness. It may, however, begin with some unpleasantness, but do not be frightened. There is untold value in the truth within your heart and soul, and we're here to assist you in exploring that. Go cautiously and reverently. You are about to enter the inner sanctum of God's gift to you, life in its fullest, your own spirit and soul. I want to tell you a story, actually several stories, things that came to me this week. Believe it or not, I don't sit down and plan these meetings. This stuff comes to me as the week unfolds. I recently had a heartfelt exchange with a woman who was saying goodbye to her dying mother. Her account of that experience was the most complete and soulful exchange I've ever been privileged to hear about in all of my 59 years. The lady concluded, "You know, it's just like those intensity monitors. It's so obvious what is really important moment to moment." She described being able to hear and respond to her mother just minutes before her mother lost consciousness for the last time. She reported that they discussed the joys of their lives together with the family, including humor used by both the mother and the daughter. With the mother quipping, "Just remember me a little, will you?" and retorting that she wanted her daughter to put on her tombstone, quote, "See, I told you I was sick." A sense of humor to the end. Is that something we could all do? Why do we wait until we've lost something to fully appreciate all the value of the experience? It is true that it's very difficult to be in a relationship actively and simultaneously see all of the virtues and the gifts the relationship offers and has offered while also exploring whatever downsides exist. Is it possible that we do the same things with our relationship with ourselves? It's been my experience that people spend much more time of their lives resisting their feelings, both good and bad, than they spend truly accepting the fullness of all of their experience. We're here to assist you in learning how to reduce, if not eliminate, your own rejection of your own heart and soul. It's easier than you can imagine. A recent conversation with a septuagenarian revealed that, in essence, despite dutifully following the Intensity Monitor program for over 2 years and experiencing incredible value of the results of that, the respondent exclaimed to the effect that they were continually surprised by the unfolding of the richness and simplicity of their life and all they were experiencing. The doorways continue to open. It gets better and better. Don't wait until life is at an end to begin reaping the values of every moment. Don't treat the anticipation of the adversity of life as a reason to avoid life itself. Do not bury, avoid people, relationships, or life before death occurs by running away from your wholeness. The whole truth is your own heart. We do not know how much time we have here. It's not simply a function of age. It's a function of whether we are able to embrace all of every moment. That same septuagenarian exclaimed essentially, "I've realized I've spent untold amounts of energy and time worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow while missing the full value of the moment here and now. Worrying about tomorrow robs us of our today." How about you, listeners? What have you learned of value as you've grown older about living and loving? Call us. Tell us. 770-491-7748. Or thesoulfulmind@AOL.com. We have a caller.
Hello, Leslie. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing great. So tell us, why are you calling today?
I'm the lady that Dr. Ware was just talking about.
Oh, okay.
I just talked to Dr. Ware about that yesterday.
Really appreciate you sharing.
Really, really hard, because if you wouldn't have told me about the intensity monitor, I just might have let that moment pass. And I might not have been able to really be in the moment and not really be able to remember it and be able to let it sink in and not be able to really enjoy it.
I think that the reality of what we're talking about today is that people struggle with that every moment, with every person they know, their children, their spouses, their friends, their coworkers, their employers. Life is such a precious gift in the moment, and your willingness to share that is just overwhelming.
It is a gift, and we just don't realize it, and we let it slip through our fingers, and you let it... And the problem is that you don't realize it's a gift. And I can look back on it now and realize it's a gift. And in the moment you can realize it's a gift and you can look back on it, and I'm going to have that for the rest of my life, and I'm going to realize it was a gift. 100 years from now, I'm going to realize it's a gift.
I call it squeezing every drop.
That's what it is. And maybe when my dad passed away, I didn't realize it. I looked at it as a tragedy. And even though I lost my mom, you know, it's a sadness. But I had that. And, you know, I could experience it for what it was. And I'm going to have that memory. And I'm going to be able to look back on it and realize I really did have that. And I was able to experience it and know, you know, look back on it and look at the joys and look at the, you know, it really was a heartache, but it really was a joy to have those minutes with her, you know, and be able to look back on it and be able to be there and remember everything and be conscious of it and not just be going through it like a zombie, I guess.
You're offering a gift to every listener out there. I've been listening to people and thinking about the human journey all of my life. It's my life's work. And I have never known anyone who was able to do what you did the way you did it. And there are people out there listening right now who are remembering the death of a dear loved one or the loss of a relationship that was unacceptable or unworkable for them. And they remember the good stuff years after the pain subsides. And they're very aware as they hear you talk that it would have been really precious if they could have embraced it all as was happening. So for the listeners that are beginning to hear perhaps what we're saying, thank you.
Well, it's really, really nice that I could be able to have the intensity monitor and be able to, you know, be there and realize, and also be able to realize that through my mom's death that, you know, even being there after my mom took her last breath and being able to say, you know, this really, I don't know if this was even a 10 because, you know, thinking if my daughter died, that might be a 10. And knowing that my mom was 83 and she had a full good life and she really enjoyed her life, maybe this isn't even a 10. This is probably maybe a 9.5 for me. And if my daughter died, maybe that would be a 10. And this really isn't the worst thing that could happen to me. There's probably worse things that could happen to me. When my dad died, I thought, this is a 10. Maybe that really wasn't a 10 after all. And it really does put things in perspective. It really, really does.
Well, you know, what you're really describing is the human embrace of full acceptance of literally the love of the gift of life, the Christ consciousness. And, you know, as we embrace life, as we develop the ability to reduce the judgment in our own hearts, life gets full and rich and opens, and we are satisfied and gratified, even in the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little bit later in the program today about that in terms of what other people have observed. But I, you know, you're really saying that the pain was a doorway for you.
Yeah, it really was. And maybe, you know, in the past, you know, I cried and cried and cried, and I'm still going to cry and cry and cry, and nobody's perfect. You just worked your way through it.
Well, there's a difference between fighting loss, which is what generates the proverbial depression, and embracing loss and sadness as a natural part of any relationship, any connection with life itself. And if one, as you know, I had a spouse who died, and I, you know, it took me a good 3 years to really begin to realize how profound that was. And I knew as I was going through it that I needed to let the sadness just be there. And there were times when it would take me literally to my knees, and I would weep, and then I would go on with the day. Mm-hmm. And that's not the same thing as fighting a loss. If you fight a loss, it can kill you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so very much for calling, Leslie.
Thanks, Dr. Ware.
Keep in touch.
I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. I, you know, Leslie's just taken away. She's just done the program better than I can. So listen to us, folks. Call us. Share us your stories. I was just about to say when Leslie popped up on the screen, share with others, they need to hear your story. What if life is just an opportunity of embracing every moment to its fullest? If life is simply about truth, your truth, the truth of what's in your heart, and then the measure of the fullness of your lives is the extent to which we allow ourselves to embrace without judgment that truth in our own hearts. If we met the Christ on the road to Galilee, would he not simply accept us, all of us? Isn't his full acceptance of all of who we are the definition of divine love and what forgiveness is all about, of what salvation is all about? Another respondent later confided that she now understood the value of pain. She reported that a few years before beginning her work with her intensity monitors, that she had asked God to open her heart and help her be a more loving person. She added that she knew that the previously unbearable pain that she had struggled with was actually a doorway through which she was able to pass successfully only as she learned to honor, respect, and accept fully her own heart. Love and life are divine gifts. Love and life are indeed the Holy Spirit on earth here and now. Don't wait until you've lost the opportunity to save its value. To savor its value. A personal note. When I was 29 or so, I remember asking God to bring me failure. I didn't fully understand the significance of that prayer, but the following 25 years of profound adversity in all areas of my life felt purposeful, and it was as though it was my duty to pursue it and to understand it. I just sensed that it was essential for completeness. Those years of adversity are the author of all I know, all I now understand about the human heart, and the author of this gift, which Jackie and I are now offering you and all of those you love.
As it says in Psalms 139, 20 through 24, Doc, I believe this is what you were saying to the Lord. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the ways of everlasting.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't miss this opportunity. We are patient. We, Minister Kane and myself, we are here waiting for you to hear your heart and soul asking you quietly, isn't there a better way? There must be a better way. I really don't think that all of those I know that present themselves as content are really contented. I now can see that it's a front that they themselves must continue to believe until they're fed up, exhausted, overwhelmed, and ultimately disheartened. Now, isn't that an interesting word, disheartened?
Mm-hmm.
Come with us, experience the fullness of God's intention in the sacred gift of life. We're patient. We're waiting for your phone call, 770-491-7748, or thesoulfulmind@AOL.com. What's the first step, Jackie?
Well, the first step is awareness.
You have to think about what you're thinking and feeling. You
Absolutely.
Have to address it.
You need to know it.
You have to either be curious, come on, smart people,
mm-hmm.
or in unbearable pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you acknowledge it. You just simply acknowledge it.
See, denial is what causes one to not move to the next level and grow through the situation.
I think you can stay busy.
Uh-huh.
I think you can have projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can spend more money than you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can have multiple relationships,
mm-hmm.
either at the same time or
mm-hmm.
sequentially.
Mm-hmm.
You can be superficial. You mm-hmm. can be exhausted. You can be opinionated. And never, ever take a look at your own soul.
Absolutely.
You're not the only one out there who is uncertain. Step two, how can I change it? Here's the commercial, the exercise. After any feeling, any size, any quality, any time, it's also outlined on the program website, www.thesoulfulmind.com. You simply ask yourself on a scale of 0 to 10, where 0 is no intensity and 10 is the most intense feeling you could ever imagine having, pleasant or unpleasant. And how intense was that? And you let that intensity register in your mind and you move on. The third step, you have a choice. You can pursue the very same way you've been living, or you can try something different. And lastly, you will exchange your misery for joy. Those years of adversity are the author of all that I know, certainly, and I think Minister Kane would support that. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss it. Misery is simply the lack of hope. People say, do, and or live, I'd rather die than hurt.
And why is that?
Maybe we should say, they say, I'd rather die than live.
And you die every day when you're not living to your best.
Wouldn't you like to know if there's something better before you
finally conclude? Absolutely.
Let's talk about relationships. First, your relationship with yourself.
Important.
And secondly, your relationship with others. Mm-hmm. One respondent concerning the program reported she felt like it was good to hear about other people's stories on the program, as she felt less like the only one out there who was struggling. She indicated that she felt like people are listening, but they're not sure it's okay to call. She encouraged us, Minister Kane and myself, to continue reassuring you, the listener, the following. We're here. We're here for you. It's okay to call. You're not the only one who's out there struggling. It works. It really works. Thank you, Leslie, for calling. And tell them when they call, they help others.
Absolutely.
If life is simply an opportunity to love fully, to embrace all that we feel, then the question is, what are the barriers to fully accepting ourselves? The answer is usually fear. What happens when we no longer allow fear to be a barrier to our fullness? That's what this program is about, teaching you how to remove your own judgment of what's truly in your heart.
Well, you know, Doc, fear can paralyze your potential growth, your future wealth.
It stops
your
everything.
Your mental health. I mean, it just paralyzes you in a place where you cannot go where you need to be.
Fullness is but a nanomoment away. How long does it take to register what something is? An inanimate object, like a cup or a pencil, or a feeling that you have? What if your misery and difficulty in living a full, rich life is not because there is something broken in your mind or heart? What if it's not because you're defective, unlucky, or unfortunate, or impoverished? What if it's simply because you have chosen to walk or run away from your own heart? We, as a group of people, our humanity, is starving in a world of plenty, even to the point of doing things that put ourselves, others, and even property in jeopardy. The power and intensity of an individual's struggle with their own heart can reach volcanic proportions. People spend more time avoiding pain than living life. There is a difference between an individual's offering their life, even sacrificially, in support of another's life and circumstance and trouble, and one's threatening of actually attempting to end their life or another's as a kind of tantrum regarding life's not going the way they wanted it to go.
And that happens so often today.
It's love versus evil. And I define evil as the absence of full acceptance, the absence of love.
Absence of love.
Caretaking behaviors can actually be effective barriers to the helped person's discovering how to manage their own hearts. You really can't do it for them. We all share so many common elements of these struggles that some people listening may indeed think we're talking only about them. Well, we actually are, and then we're not. We're talking about all of you, all of us. What if your struggles are the same as all of us are facing? The spectrum of life may be defined by the spectrum that exists between pure life love and the other end of the spectrum of someone having difficulty with survival itself out of hopelessness or rage. Life is not a competition or opportunity to control another. It is simply an opportunity to embrace our own hearts. What happens in relationships when oneself and other, with oneself and others, after one makes peace with their own heart? Let's talk about your relationship with others, and then we'll move on quickly. As we learn to listen to our own hearts with full acceptance, we learn that we can hear others more clearly. You're discovering communication with your God, yourself, and any around you who will share. You can't love another until you love, accept yourself fully.
Important.
And until they will love themselves and allow you to love them. That's what I call six-way love. You develop your ability to love yourself, your ability to open your heart and let someone else love you, and your ability to love them. It simply is what it is. You have, in pursuing your intensity monitor program, discovered both within and without the death of guilt, competition, control, and caretaking. You'll find that in knowing others, that if they are as yet unable to accept their own pain, that being close to them requires that you bear their pain. Yes, as Minister Kane says, hurt people hurt others.
Absolutely.
It's so rare to find people who simply are open and accepting, yes, loving no matter what the conditions of life in that moment. It's so easy to use others' hearts and personas as your own point of reference, but it doesn't work. How many times do we tell ourselves that if we do this or do that, are better than someone else, or prove that we can do this or that to ourselves or others, that somehow we expect our life will take on meaning and substance? We think that getting a doctorate, amassing wealth, having a child, getting married, being elected to a powerful post will do it for us. In my experience, these things do not contentment make. What if that which we seek is waiting within our hearts just for us to accept it? In relationships, the stuff of success is a do, not in the saying. It's not what people tell you, it's how they relate to you. They are either accepting of you and who you are, or they're fighting with you to become something they feel will resolve their own conflicts within their own hearts.
And you are not allowed to let that happen.
Thank you, Minister Kane. An attempt to live in terms of others' values, their likes and dislikes, their fears and avoidances, and what you get is loss of yourself, even more than ever before.
Absolutely.
One listener said, I've heard what you're saying, and for me it just had to be heard over and over before I could actually hear you. I know there are people out there who can sense what you're saying is true, but they need to hear it over and over and think about it before they can truly hear you. You just don't offer a quick fix, Dr. Ware, like everyone is looking for. Recently, I heard a famous local radio talk show host discussing the winner of a multi-million-dollar lottery, and he said quite smartly that the winner, in order to avoid the disasters that have been so well-publicized about what happens to instant winners, losses of marriages, incarceration, going broke, being taken by greedy relatives, etc., that the winner need not call attorneys and investment bankers, but needed to call a well-respected, I think, psychiatrist, as well as move to an undisclosed address and get an unlisted phone number. Another listener continued in saying, I now understand what you mean, Dr. Ware, by gratitude. If one is not simply in a state of gratitude after any experience, then you've missed the fullness of the experience. You've missed life itself. I became aware that in the years before I began this program that I was asking God, trying to tell God what the fix was. What I wanted was for the pain to stop. When I began to accept my own heart, the whole thing and my life turned around. I'm more alive now than ever before. It really is simply about love. We've really enjoyed being here today. I did talk with a woman in her 80s not long ago who acknowledged that she felt like that it was very rare that a man and a woman could experience complete wholehearted trust and soulful devotion to one another, and that included her relationship with her deceased husband of 50 years. She pondered after our conversation whether or not that was at all possible. We're here to tell you it is possible. We love you and God loves you.
God bless you. See you next week.
This is www.thesoulfulmind.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
your community radio station, where God unites nations, WGUN, Atlanta.
The American Advisor, the daily talk show focusing on conservative investments for tomorrow. The American